And with that, Glaurung began his assault upon Brethil, and all passed much as Turambar had hoped. For now, the dragon crawled with slow weight to the edge of the cliff, and he did not turn aside, but made ready to spring over the chasm with his great forelegs, and then draw his bulk after. Terror came with him, for he did not begin his passage right above, but a little to the northward, and the watchers from beneath could see the huge shadow of his head against the stars, and his jaws gaped, and he had seven tongues of fire. Then he sent forth a blast, so that all the ravine was filled with a red light and black shadows flying among the rocks. But the trees before him withered and went up in smoke, and stones crashed down into the river. And thereupon he hurled himself forward and grappled the further cliff with his mighty claws and began to heave himself across. Now there was need to be bold and swift, for though Turambar and Hunthor had escaped the blast, since they were not right in Glaurung's path, they yet had to come at him before he passed over, or all their hope failed. Heedless of peril, therefore, Turambar clambered along the cliff to come beneath him. But there, so deadly was the heat and the stench, that he tottered and would have fallen if Hunthor, following stoutly behind, had not seized his arm and steadied him. "Great heart," said Turambar, "happy was the choice that took you for a helper." But even as he spoke, a great stone hurtled from above and smote Hunthor on the head, and he fell into the water, and so ended, not the least valiant of the House of Haleth. Then Turambar cried, "Alas! It is ill to walk in my shadow. Why did I seek aid? For now you are alone, O Master of Doom, as you should have known it must be. Now conquer alone." Then he summoned to him all his will and all his hatred of the dragon and his master, and it seemed to him that suddenly he found a strength of heart and of body that he had not known before. And he climbed the cliff from stone to stone and root to root, until he seized at last a slender tree that grew a little beneath the lip of the chasm, and though its top was blasted, it still held fast by its roots. And even as he steadied himself in a fork of its boughs, the midmost parts of the dragon came above him and swayed down with their weight almost upon his head, ere Glaurung could heave them up. Pale and wrinkled was their underside, and all dank with a grey slime, to which clung all manner of dropping filth, and it stank of death. Then Turambar drew the black sword of Beleg and stabbed upwards with all the might of his arm and of his hate, and the deadly blade, long and greedy, went into the belly, even to its hilts. Then Glaurung, feeling his death pang, gave forth a scream, whereat all the woods were shaken, and the watchers at Nengirith were aghast. Turambar reeled as from a blow, and slipped down, and his sword was torn from his grasp, and clave to the belly of the dragon. For Glaurung, in a great spasm, bent up all his shuddering bulk, and hurled it over the ravine, and there upon the further shore he writhed, screaming, lashing, and coiling himself in his agony, until he had broken a great space all about him, and lay there at last in a smoke and a ruin. and was still.